Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you very much for listening. We always appreciate your time. My guest today is Brad Pittman. Brad is the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Facilities and Operations at Wichita State, and he joins us to talk big events. Wichita State, and there are many other groups, we'll get Brad to tell us about that. They are hosting first and second round NCAA tournament games at Interest Bank Arena on March 20th and 22nd. That's the men's tournament. In July, the news just came out yesterday, the basketball tournament is back at Koch Arena for a sixth time with the Aftershocks as the headlining team and the eight-team Wichita Regional. So the return of NCAA basketball continues a long history here in Wichita. Wichita State started hosting NCAA men's basketball games in 1956 on campus, hosted eight times in what is now Koch Arena, in 1994 at the Kansas Coliseum. We've all heard stories about how bad that was. Have you heard the stories about how bad the Kansas Coliseum was in 94?
I've heard a few stories, and yeah, let's just say they left a little bit to be desired.
Yes, we desperately needed Interest Bank Arena from that standpoint. In 2011, the NCAA tournament returned to Wichita with the women's games at Interest Bank Arena. They were Wichita State. Wichita was scheduled to host men's games in 2021, but did not due to COVID. In 2022, women's NCAA regional play came downtown, and now the tournament is back this March. They also hosted men's NCAA games in 2018. Big success. Brad is the tournament manager for the NCAA tournament. Brad, can you get me tickets?
I can, if you have some money. Okay. Unfortunately, I can't give comp tickets out, but there are a handful of tickets left for sale.
There are tickets available. All right, very good. Where are you on the planning timeline for March 20th?
We are currently in what I would call the kind of the detail phase. So we're starting to get things in. The big plans are all done and set, and people are lined up. We're now just crossing T's, dotting I's, making sure that we have a full understanding of all the timelines and the things that will happen on that weekend. So that's kind of where we're digging in right now.
So in 2018, one of the big successes was the open practice, filled the arena for the University of Kansas, Fan Fest, great vibe, great atmosphere downtown. I was pouring beers at a brewery during that. It was a lot of fun. What should fans know about fan activities around the arena and the open practices this year?
Yeah, so open practice day will be March 19th. First one will start at 11 a.m., free and open to the public. So each team will get 40 minutes of open practice. They're required to take 30 of that. They're not going to do anything too in-depth, but you'll see a lot of just shooting around and just guys having a good time. So it's a great opportunity for folks that are either don't have tickets or just big basketball fans to catch some of the best talent in the country. There will be a lot of activity around the arena. So the city is going to host Fan Fest in NASCAR Park Thursday, Friday, Saturday, approximately 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. There will be games on the big screen down there. They will also have food trucks, beverage trucks, both the fun kind and the not fun kind, and then activities for all ages around it. In addition, there's going to be several private parties west and south of the arena from various groups that are going to be putting those on.
Oh, so in the event venues that have sprung up around the arena,
correct,
that kind of thing?
Yeah, and there'll be folks that'll be doing stuff in parking lots and kind of just all around, wherever they can take advantage of the massive people that will be downtown.
It strikes me that downtown, and I'll include Delano, has changed significantly since 2011, and even since 2018. How much is that a part of this success picture?
I think it's a huge part of it. I think also people learned from 2018 and behaviors. I think there were some estimates from the city that there was 30 to 35,000 people just downtown alone on that weekend for basketball, which obviously the arena holds 15,000, so 20,000 of them had to go somewhere else. So I think people learned that there was an appetite for this, and they're trying to capitalize and move forward with that again.
Yeah, it seems like there's at least one significant new hotel downtown since 2018, and we always have new restaurants, new breweries, those kind of things. So I think it turns into a pretty good NCAA tournament site with a lot of walkable places, and it's convenient.
It does, and having traveled to a few of these, you don't see a lot of fan activations in a lot of places you go to. So I think that's where Wichita is a little unique, and where where we can kind of set a mark a little bit in terms of what we can do to separate ourselves from our competition.
When you go to these events, I think time spent in a car is wasted time. You want to be out and about, you want to be at the games, or you want to be eating or walking and meshing with the people.
Yes, and we're hopeful. I mean, the last time we did this, we had gorgeous weather, 70 degrees, and obviously none of us can control that, but we're hopeful we can get something similar, which would make it really fun to be outside.
What's the division of labor as far as what is the NCAA? How much help do they give you in the months leading up to the game?
Really, the NCAA's charge on this is they're just giving you direction. You are responsible as the host to put this on. So they're telling you how they want this run. They're giving you kind of the blueprint how to run it. They're sending you all the materials that you need to run it. But at the end of the day, executing it is basically the host's responsibility.
So it takes a lot of groups to pull off something like this. Who are the other groups that are really involved in helping?
Yeah, we're really blessed to have really good working relationships with Visit Wichita and Intrust Bank Arena. We've been partnering with them since the arena was built to bring these events here. The city's done a really good job. This year they're helping us with Nafsker Park, and they help us with some other items. Those are the main core groups of folks that get involved with these events, and we've been really fortunate to have some great relationships with them.
I'm going to throw you off guard here. I've got a trivia question for you. Who is the one school that won the national title after playing an NCAA tournament game in Wichita? This goes back throughout the entire history of games in Wichita.
Oh, gosh.
Had a lot of Final Four teams advance out of here.
Yeah.
Who's the one that won it all?
I was going to say we had two Final Four teams the last time we did it. The Fab Five was here in 94, but they didn't win. I don't know.
UTEP.
Really?
I think they would have been Texas Western. Haskins, the famous coach, 1966. They just played one game here. They defeated Oklahoma City in the first round and then moved on. Selection show, March 16th. People will, of course, be watching that. When you learn which schools are coming to Wichita, what happens next? What's the first action item?
The first action item then is I will reach out to each director of operations, just kind of introducing myself, setting up a communication line. It's really, at that point, it's controlling communication because they're going to want to figure out, where's my hotel? Where do I practice? How do I get here? Those sorts of logistics, because reality is less than 48 hours after they're announced, they're going to be in Wichita. So it's controlling the communication. I'll have a group of folks that'll be working through some other items such as credentials and parking passes and that sort of thing. But it's really, for me, it'll be just managing the communication flow.
Yeah. How would you describe the size of your staff?
I'm fortunate with a good staff. Obviously, on the media side, Mike Ross manages that aspect, and Mike does a phenomenal job. And, he's somebody I don't have to check on him. He does a great job with that. So he'll have his team of folks, and then I'll have, from my end, I'll have our full-time staff, which is three or four people. That'll be dove into kind of the details on what we're doing that night.
So you have the previous tournament experiences here going back to 2011. I know you routinely will travel to other cities, see what they're doing as part of the preparation. What have you learned from previous tournaments that people may see this time that will be helpful?
Really, the big takeaway from a lot of tournaments is just expect the unexpected. There's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of last-minute things that come up. Be prepared for it. And as much as you can get done in advance to allow you to put out those little fires is really, really helpful. And I always have talked about and look at Wichita's, how can Wichita make their mark? And for me and how I feel about it, it's service. You know, we can't control the size of our city or how big the airport is, but we can control what we do and how we treat people. So that's really where we try to make our mark, is just the first-class service aspect to teams and officials and administrators as they come to our city.
What's been your favorite memory, your highlight from hosting these tournaments?
Yeah, I think two of them stick out for me. The last time we hosted the men in 2018, if you watch that game, Michigan versus Houston, Jordan Poole nails a three-pointer at the buzzer to win and advance them to the Sweet 16, which really epitomizes what the tournament's all about. It's that finality, win or go home, and you see the jubilation from the one side, you see the heartbreak on the other side, and you feel for the guys that lost, but that's why we watch these games. It's really, really, it's about that. So that was cool to actually see that in person. There is a rumor that basketball may be in my basement, but I can't confirm or deny that. The other one that comes out is the women's regional in 22. It was it was the last day, and Louisville had just finished their practice, and we were getting ready to come out and rehearse kind of the regional ceremony, because after that, you know, you cut down the nets and the confetti, all that stuff. So as we were coming out on the court, their entire team comes over to us and just says, thank you for everything that you guys have done. And I've never experienced that in all my time doing this, which I thought was a really cool gesture.
That is nice. University of Louisville did that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So when you get together on March 24th, I'm guessing, the Monday, what will you talk about to judge the success of this event?
I think the success is going to be judged on a number of things. You know, what issues did you have? Hopefully, and there's going to be something that comes up. How did you deal with it? Were the issues major or were they minor? Why were the issues there? Were there things that could have been corrected beforehand? So you're going to kind of look at the preparedness. You know, we hope we're prepared. We hope we're ready to deal with the things that come up. That's how I'm going to judge it. And then ultimately, you're going to judge it on the experience that you see from the student athletes and the folks inside the arena. Did everybody have a good time? You'll get a little bit of a sense from comments that people will have. That's really kind of be the metric for me, is was this a success or how we did.
So I think it's good to remind people, landing NCAA games, that was a big selling point for the downtown arena way back in, I think the vote was in 2004. And during this time period, you know, Des Moines, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, they've all upgraded arenas, built new arenas, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of competition for these tournaments each year. What does Intrust Bank Arena, what does Wichita, what do they do right to get Wichita and Wichita State into this rotation?
I think what we do really well is the service. I really do. We are, and you hear this a lot of times, and at some point it isn't just lip service. You hear from the NCAA and the people that come here that we do it well, that we have our information gathered, we're ready to go, we're prepared, and that people have a good time when they're here. So I think that's what we do really well. Obviously, our arena's great. We have a really good city. There's a lot to do in Wichita, which I think people, when they come here, are surprised to find that out, which is important. But I think ultimately it's the how we treat people and how we manage the tournament is really what puts Wichita in the mix and keeps us in the mix. And that's really, from my perspective, how we're going to be successful.
Give us an idea about the scope of the traveling parties, and I guess you won't know visiting fan numbers. You know, that could rise or fall dramatically depending on what teams you get. But what's kind of the ballpark about how many people will be coming in?
Yeah, so for each team is going to bring 75 to 100 folks, because they're going to bring, obviously, their basketball team, which is usually 25 to 30 folks, and you're going to bring your band, which is another 30 folks, your spirit, another 12, and you'll have some administrators and staff with them. So just depending on the size of the school, 75 to 100, just core group of travelers, is going to be here from every school. And then it's going to depend on who we get. You know, obviously, Kansas is not doing us a lot of favors right now. You know, they would be one that would get sent here if they were playing really well. And, you know, there's still time for them to turn it around. But they would obviously bring a ton of people. So it's going to really depend on who you get and how well their fan base travels and what is their representation in and around the Wichita area.
So you ruined my Jordan Poole trivia question, but I've got another one ready to go.
Okay.
Who scored the most points in an NCAA tournament game in Wichita? That, again, going all the way back to 1956.
I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say Chris Webber.
Rob Gray and Elvin Hayes.
Wow.
So the interesting thing is two players both scored 39 points, both from the University of Houston.
Wow.
Elvin Hayes had 39 in a 1968 win over TCU. Rob Gray in 2018 win over San Diego State that then set up that game against Michigan that you referenced. So two Cougars with 39 points. What's next as far as bidding on NCAA events for Wichita and Wichita State?
Yeah, the next bid cycle I believe will open later this fall. At least that's kind of the timeline we've been told, and it will be for 29 and 30. The last one we bid on we knew was going to be a really long shot for men because we were just hosting in 25 and they were bidding on 27 and 28. But we got really good feedback on our bid, so we know we're in the ballpark. Really, the feedback came down to, well, you're hosting in 25. It's pretty close to 27, 28, but you need to keep bidding. So we're going to, you know, when the materials come out, we'll evaluate it as a group, see what we need to do, see what changes they put into it. and continue to push the envelope in terms of what we offer to get this back in Wichita.
TBT has been a big hit in Wichita in previous summers. Wichita Regional is back at Koch Arena July 18th through the 23rd with the Aftershocks. I see we have Rashard Kelly, Connor Frankamp, I saw Marcus McDuffie, Zach Bush, J.R. Simon, and Garrett Stutz will continue as the front office and the coaching crew. Brad, what's new with the basketball tournament this summer?
Yeah, the biggest change that you're going to see is fans now have an opportunity to help their team have home court advantage throughout the duration of the tournament. So the first of the hosts of the eight host sites to reach 4,000 tickets is guaranteed home court advantage as long as you're in the tournament. So we're hopeful that our fan base will once again show why we're the best in the country and why we're the best in TBT, and we'll give our Aftershocks an opportunity to play at Koch Arena.
So let me make sure I understand. So theoretically, all the way through a championship game could be at Koch Arena if the Aftershocks continued winning and Wichita sells tickets.
Correct, yes. If we're the first site to 4,000 tickets sold, the Aftershocks will play at Koch Arena as long as they continue to win.
Okay, yeah, the Aftershocks, they have had a lot of success, 11-4 in their time in TBT, semifinal appearance, two quarterfinal appearances, the games at Koch Arena, routinely 4,000 or more. Six of TBT's top 10 attendance games have been at Koch Arena. So Kansas and Kansas State, their alumni teams are following in Wichita State's footsteps, as we often see, and they will co-host their regional up at Municipal Auditorium in Kansas City. Do we know what teams will be coming to Wichita, or when do we get an idea about that?
Yeah, we haven't. Typically by now we've heard a little bit of rumblings of what's going to be happening in Wichita, but we haven't so far. I think that'll be something that we'll hear closer to end of April, early May, when tickets go on sale. They'll start kind of announcing which teams are going to go where.
In the past, we've had regional teams, Colorado, some from Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. I guess it's safe to say there's going to be some regional flavor to it.
Yeah, I think they're going to still have some regionalization to it, just simply for travel for those guys when they fly back to their respective cities just to get here. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see who comes this year.
Creighton was here a few years ago. TBT has been around since 2014, but there's still probably people who are not totally familiar with it. It's a 64-team, winner-take-all tournament, $1 million prize. Tell us a little bit about TBT. What's the selling point? What do fans see when they come out here in July?
Yeah, honestly, it's really good basketball. I think the coolest thing about TBT is how they end the basketball game. You're used to the traditional college basketball game where you have the clock, and typically when a team is behind, they'll foul and try to make up points that way. Well, in TBT, when you get to the under four timeout in the fourth quarter, they stop. And they set a target score. So basically they add 8 points to the leading team's score. That's the target score. First team to the target score wins. So there is no need to foul. The action is a lot more intense. They let them play basketball, which is really, really fun to watch. And there have been times where I've seen teams that have been down double digits going into the target score that have come back to win. So you have an opportunity as a team, even if you're behind, if you play solid defense and make timely baskets to have an opportunity to win.
Yeah, I think the Elim ending has been very popular, very interesting, yes. And people really enjoy it. And it is a good level of basketball. You have a lot of guys who play professionally mm-hmm. overseas. You'll have, you know, I think every summer we've had former NBA guys on these teams. So it is a high level of basketball with some really good athletes. Wichita State has two significant construction projects underway, which if you're on campus, I'm sure you will be noticing. We've got the indoor practice facility going up next to Wilkins Stadium for softball. What's the update on that?
Yeah, we are moving along on that. We are scheduled to be done with that at the end of April. Our winter has been a little unkind to us with some really, really cold spells and a lot of snow that we normally don't get. So it's slowed us down a little bit there. But end of April, we should be done with the building over there fully enclosed and ready for the softball team to use.
I'm sure they will be excited. Then next to Koch Arena, east side of what we are now calling University Stadium, home of Shocker Track and Field, home of the Kansas State High School Activities Association, track and field meet. What's the update on the stadium?
We are on schedule right now with the east side of the stadium to have bleachers installed, approximately 5,800 seats, restrooms for men and women, and a concession stand done by the time state track happens at the end of May. So that project is on schedule. Bleachers are scheduled to start around the first part of April. It's about a 30-day process to get those installed. So that part of the project should be done. And then once the track meet is over, we're going to transition right into the track and the field, taking out the existing track and the field and putting in a wider track and a soccer pitch. And that should be done by the basically the close of 2025.
Okay. Brad Pittman, thank you very much for the updates on things going around Wichita State.
You're welcome.
Great insight, as always. Thanks for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can always find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
Martin, left wing to Mike Jones. 8 seconds left. Smithson out to Mike Jones. 25-footer. Good! He got it with 3 seconds left! Mike Jones, from about 25 feet out, hit another long jumper. 2 seconds showing on the clock. That may not be official, but Wichita State leads 66-65. Timeout, Kansas. 2 seconds to go. Wichita State 66, Kansas 65.